This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
This is a Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark. The last few months have been eventful, not just for us here in Malaysia, but also in the US. November presidential elections saw Democrats come back into power, seizing both the White House and Congress, and this month's Georgia runoffs have sealed their hold with an even 50 seats in the Senate. Now, over all of that, COVID-19 cases continue to rise, with the US reporting over 200,000 cases of the virus every day. Now, a lot has changed since we last had US Ambassador to Malaysia, Her Excellency Kamala Lakhdir, on the show in August, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome her back this morning. Kamala Lakhdir, US Ambassador to Malaysia. Ambassador, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. It's wonderful to be back on BFN. I'm pleased to be with you this morning.
So you're coming to the end of your term here. What would you say has been some of the highlights of US-Malaysia bilateral relations? Are there any loose ends, perhaps, that you expect a successor will have to tie up?
In the course of my time in Malaysia, we have done across so many different areas so much work together, whether it's in economics and business, in regional security, in education and exchanges, civil society, trafficking in persons, labor. One of the things when you said, is there any loose ends? So when you're an ambassador and a diplomat, you know that you get to push forward together with the counterparts you're working with, and in my case, Malaysian counterparts across society and in the government. We push forward and then we depart and the work continues. So I would say in all these areas, there are many things where there will be more work. The thing I would add also that is quite different in my departure and quite different in this experience is COVID-19. So many, many things that in 2020 we had hoped to work on, many conferences, many high-level visits, many, I could keep going, our English teaching assistants who we thought would be in 100 schools in Malaysia, all these things we had to postpone or suspend. And in many cases, we've continued virtually. I think all of us, Malaysians and Americans, but I hope going forward that my successor will, and for Malaysia and the United States, that we will live in a post-COVID-19 environment where we can meet and do things in person. And so I think there are many things that he will have to resume that right now we cannot do.
Yes, I think everyone hopes for a return to sort of a pre-COVID normal as soon as possible. It'd be nice to meet people in person.
May the vaccines come soon. That's our prayer for 2021.
Absolutely. But in the meantime, Ambassador, what are some of the challenges that you anticipate for US-Malaysia ties now? I mean, it is a new normal, as you've just spoken out, and everyone's trying to figure out what this is going to look like. What are some of the stumbling blocks that you anticipate?
For the United States, for the new administration that, as you pointed out at the beginning, will come into government next week, and for Malaysia, the focus will have to be alleviating and mitigating the COVID-19 pandemic. And at the same time, both for Malaysia and the United States, the impact on the economy and livelihoods and employment are critical. So I think these are issues that for both governments and both societies, there will have to be a lot of focus. We have a lot of U.S. Companies that are here in Malaysia. Many of them have been here for a very long time. Many companies, in fact, have put in new investments, even during COVID-19. But a lot of the companies are reassessing their global supply chains. They're reassessing how to the lessons they've learned from a pandemic, the lessons they've learned in terms of protecting their supply chain in the face of such a global challenge. So I think it will be important going forward that the Malaysian government and the U.S. firms and the chamber to keep looking at how to make Malaysia a business-friendly environment. So I think that's a challenge for Malaysia going forward and for the large number of U.S. firms that are here. And I think in the U.S., many of these same challenges, we also need to rebuild our economy, look at employment, and also look at global supply chains in general and learn from the lessons of COVID-19.
So what would you say is the main reason then, Ambassador, that American businesses aren't investing more in Malaysia?
I would have told you in 2019, the U.S. FDI into Malaysia is larger than any other country, which always surprises, substantially larger. Mm. That always surprises Malaysians because they have different perceptions. I think having spent 4 years here speaking to American companies, some that have invested here for many years, some that are thinking of investing, some that are comparing, you know, different areas in ASEAN where they may invest, they are interested in reliability. Regulatory reliability and certainty so that they know when they're investing sort of what is going to be the landscape and the context. They're also very interested in talent. You know, can they recruit Malaysian talent? And almost all our companies have, if not every employee, but the vast majority are Malaysians. They're looking at labor mobility, that they may be wanting to send young people for training into the U.S. or other places. They may want to recruit experts to come into Malaysia. They're also looking at their global supply chain. Where are they placing different parts of their manufacturing or their design work? They're looking at infrastructure, that electricity, water, and digital. Because I do agree that, you know, connectivity and having really, it's now like electricity. If you don't have that broadly, you know, it's going to be extremely difficult for people to come and invest here. A lot of American companies also are looking at where to put global operations or regional operations. There are a lot of companies who've put their back office teams here in Malaysia that serve globally or serve the region. So one of the issues is data flows, regional and globally. So if they want to put their human resources functions here or their accounting functions here, and it's going to cover the world, does the regulatory environment support that? And I think Malaysia has tremendous opportunities. And I think they're going forward as we start moving out of COVID-19, hopefully, there'll be lots of companies who are making decisions and reassessing their situation. And I think Malaysia has to prepare for that. And even now needs to prepare for those kinds of conversations and that providing that environment that people will come to Malaysia.
So, Ambassador, I mean, one of the things that you mentioned, of course, was stability. And Malaysia has seen a significant amount of political upheaval over the past couple of years. And now we've just declared, of course, a national state of emergency, coincidentally at the same time that President Donald Trump declared a state of emergency in Washington, I believe. Looking at it as a foreign diplomat and keeping in mind the desires of these of American companies, what is your opinion of this state of affairs here in Malaysia? Because there are those who would say that it means that we don't have to deal with elections anytime soon, so we therefore postpone the threat of a potential election COVID spike. But there are those who also are concerned over potentially what seems to be the shelving of democratic ideals, even if it is only until August. So what is your sense of this?
So I think that that the communications from the prime minister and from the government focusing on both the new MCO and the state of emergency focused on addressing the COVID-19 situation in Malaysia. and that decision-making is related to this current public health crisis. That it, and I think the Prime Minister has, in his communications, talked about how the focus is on this. Institutions of government will continue, civil liberties, there is no curfew. This communication is something that I think that a lot of companies and will understand, because this is about addressing COVID-19. And COVID-19 is a global pandemic. The delineation of how this is about COVID-19 is clear, and from when it was instituted. And so that is important for people to, Malaysians and Malaysian people, to understand, and that this is within the Malaysian constitution. It's similar. I would just to comment on the state of emergency that President Trump announced. That was specific to Washington, D.C., and it is specific to the tragic circumstances that happened last week, and that we are going to have an inauguration. So again, it is targeted at a specific and defined issue, and that is being explained to the public so they understand what is happening.
Coming back to the idea of Malaysia as an attractive investment destination for American companies, one of the concerns is that the fact that the US has Malaysia currently on a currency manipulator watch list probably also doesn't help the image of Malaysia as an attractive investment destination. Would you know anything about whether this will be revised or reviewed anytime soon?
In my time here, there has been no specific steps. It is, we discuss it with Bank Negara, we discuss it with the finance ministry. But part of it is that Malaysia, of course, exports commodities. Part of it is that Malaysia is a very important player in the electronics supply chain. And for a period of time, for a variety of reasons, there was a huge increase in exports in the E&E sector. So I think that this is less, this is my personal view. I do not think this is relates to the FDI set of questions. I've never actually had an American company that was thinking of investing in Malaysia bring up this issue to me. So I take that as a sign.
All right. But when it comes to Malaysian perception as well of the U.S. ambassador, we've also had some of our major palm oil players, major glove makers come under fire from U.S. Customs and Border Protection. And coming as it has, one after another, first you know, Top Glove, then FGV, then Sime Darby Plantations, there are those who claim that the U.S. is targeting the country unfairly, particularly since, of course, the U.S. CBP has no obligation to share their evidence with us to determine, so that we can also help determine if there are areas that need to be addressed. So how would you address these allegations, perhaps that the U.S. almost has it out for some of Malaysian companies?
So what I would tell you is that CBP's actions are specifically focused on individual companies. So this is not about Malaysia writ large. It is that they have done and they have received information, they have done an investigation, and out of that investigation, they have made a decision to issue a WRO, a particular decision that will not allow exports into the U.S. from that company. And that is between the company and CBP. Now, I must tell you that the United States, and part of my being ambassador here, we do engage with the Malaysian government on labor issues and on trafficking in persons issues. These are things that during my time here, I have had many conversations, both with the private sector, with ministries, with law enforcement here in Malaysia, to discuss trafficking in persons and forced labor issues. And Malaysia has been working on this. These are very challenging issues. COVID-19 has raised up some additional sets of things that Malaysia itself is learning about, that is revealing a lot of challenges for migrant workers and foreign workers.
I'm speaking with Her Excellency Kamala Lakhdir, U.S. Ambassador to Malaysia. Up next, a look at current issues happening in the U.S. and whether or not it's impacting the democratic institution. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
On The Breakfast Grill this morning is Her Excellency Kamala Lakhdir, US Ambassador to Malaysia. Ambassador, all eyes have been on your country. It's been a turbulent 4 years, certainly under President Donald Trump. But things have come to a head since the November election, culminating, of course, in the riots that we saw in the US Capitol last week, as well as President Trump's recent impeachment. Now, many foreign observers were shocked by the events that came to pass in the US, particularly because the U.S. is seen as a bastion of democracy. So will this particular president's divisiveness, the riots, will this have a lasting impact on the institution of democracy in the United States, do you think?
So democracy is about the people and the institutions. And democracies across the world and in the United States are tested. Every generation has to work on protecting their democracy and making it stronger and make it, as we say in the U.S., more perfect, a more perfect union. Our founders used to say democracy is messy and slow. And they set up a system that was messy and slow to protect our rights, the people's rights. And because we are the people are responsible for our democracy. And as you saw, in November, that was the largest turnout of voters, of citizens that we've ever had. And it was in the middle of a pandemic. So it is tragic what happened last week. It is tragic that people lost their lives. But the response has been that we have law enforcement now investigating what happened. People have been arrested. In the U.S., we have a long tradition of free speech. We have a long tradition of peaceful demonstrations. We do not accept that violence is acceptable as speech. And so those who have committed violence will be held accountable. President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris will be sworn in as our new president and vice president. And they will have many things to do as their government between COVID-19 and the economy. But also, as President-elect Biden has said, we will have to strengthen our democracy, strengthen our institutions, and create a greater unity among the American people.
But nevertheless, I mean, have you found that in your engagements with the Malaysian public as well, have you found that recent events in the U.S. has eroded the U.S.'s reputation in the eyes of foreign observers? Will this influence America's ability to negotiate and press issues in other countries?
So I think we have to go forward and see how it develops. It's also how Americans come through the experience and how we engage in explaining what has happened in the U.S., what our democracy is doing to reinforce and protect itself, and what we are doing as citizens. So I say to Malaysians who ask me questions, and people have asked me many questions. People have expressed concern to me about what's happening, wanting to understand what's happening. And I speak with humility. I speak with honesty about our system of government. I speak that it's only as good as the people who protect it and uphold it. It is not a building. It is the people in the building. It's the people who we elect. There are challenges in explaining who we are and being honest about it and reflecting that every country has these challenges. We're not alone. We all want a more perfect union. We all want, everywhere in the world, wants our government to be accountable, to provide the services and the care that we need to deal with the crises that come. You know, I say this all the time, but I really mean it. Malaysia and the United States, we share so much. We are diverse societies seeking greater unity, and there are many aspects of our history that divide. And so we have to all work harder. But the advantages we get from diversity and for different voices and from different experiences are tremendous.
But that is, but Ambassador, that assumes that at some point that diversity of voices and opinions will be able to come together to reach some sort of compromise. And in the US, politics has become increasingly polarized and divisive over the past couple of years. Will some sort of a bridge be able to be found? This last election saw record turnouts, but Donald Trump also raked in 74 million votes. That kind of goes to show just how split the American people themselves are, doesn't it?
Maybe, though. All those voters voted for lots of different reasons, and all those voters had lots of different concerns. And in the U.S., we always say all elections are local. So for us, we have elections at the town level, the state level, the village level, and huge numbers of people, young people, in fact, in the U.S. in the last 4 to 8 years have entered into politics. Huge numbers of women entered into politics. Huge numbers of people, I think, because of COVID-19, are going to enter into politics, maybe at the local and the state level. Static we are not. Change is the nature of the way societies work. And change has also happened in terms of the importance of voting and how people in certain states, I would have decided that what's very important to them is changing their institutions. So yes, politics can be divisive and politics is an argument, but in many cases, politics is what you just said. It requires compromise.
So, Ambassador, perhaps as a final word, how would you suggest then that we go about strengthening our government institutions to prevent ourselves from a situation in which we're democratic only in name but not in actual practice? What are your thoughts on that?
That everyone has a role to play. That this is not something we inherit. This is something I'm speaking about the U.S., but of course in Malaysia too. That there are civil society, there is the Bar Council, there is young leaders who are raising up particular issues. I've met so many people working on environmental issues or working on refugees or trafficking in persons or plastic recycling or saving animal conservation and fighting trafficking in animals or people or So we all have a role to play, and we all have to do our best to make our societies more fair, more equitable, but also respond to the concerns we're facing, whether it's in the economic realm and in society in general. And so I've met in my 4 years a tremendous number of really fantastic Malaysians who are doing all sorts of work across areas. And I think that is what we collectively have to do, because that is our society needs to keep changing and moving forward. So I know that these are hard times, but I have a lot of hope, both for the United States and for Malaysia.
Thank you very much for your time this morning, Ambassador. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
That was Her Excellency Kamala Lakhdir, U.S. Ambassador to Malaysia. This has been The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.